Hey everybody, it's Michael here, and you're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show.
I'll be your chauffeur on a midnight drive. It takes a miracle just to survive.
Thank you.
How's it going, everybody? It's Michael here with the Good E-Reader Radio Show. It's March the 2nd, 2011, and you just listened to Nicotine and Gravy by one of our favorite artists by the name of Beck. So we've been out of commission on the radio show probably for about the last 5 or 6 days. We have been so busy, it is making my head spin. Let me just lay down on you, if I might, on what exactly is happening here in the world of Good E-Reader. We have been covering avidly the BlackBerry OS 2 dropping on a playbook. This came out about a week and a half ago, and you're pretty familiar. If you're familiar with the playbook, you know everything that's on it. I'll give you the brief summation. Basically, native email, calendar, BlackBerry Music, BlackBerry Video, a ton of cool new features, including an Android emulator. Now, there's a lot of controversy right now on BlackBerry Playbook able to play Android. If you walk into any type of electronics store and say, does the BlackBerry Playbook run Android software? They'll say, yes, you can load your Android files on there and run them. Now, that's not necessarily the case. It does have Android functionality, but you can't just load in Android files from the internet on it. Now, the Android emulator has said to be able to handle Android 2.3.3. I have been converting files like crazy for CrackBerry and for our own Good E-Reader App Store, which I'll get into a little bit later. I have found from my experience that only games and apps made for 2.1 of Android and below will actually work on a playbook. So most tower defense, air sims, like Angry Birds, all sorts of games, especially a lot of big productivity apps, simply won't work. And so this has been a thorn in the side for many people. I think we've had over about 900 to 1,000 comments just on our app store, and probably another few hundred emails. People asking, can you convert this app, you know, to BlackBerry format and so on. So it can only handle up to 2.1, but it's, like I said, it's not as easy as just copying an APK, which is an Android file, to your playbook. What you basically have to do is go through this big convoluted process of getting developer keys from Research in Motion via email and installing two pieces of developer type software and signing it with your digital signature, converting Android files to the Playbook bar format, which is basically a Playbook exclusive format, and then loading into your device with yet another piece of software. So this is not newbie friendly, and it's a very difficult process for people that, you know, have purchased the Playbook as their first tablet. Maybe they're not too tech savvy. This is an exercise in futility. So I found it's mainly just like your moderate to heavy geek that's able to really take full advantage of this and load all sorts of cool games on their playbook. Most of the other people, well, you're just going to have to rely on what's on BlackBerry App World. Now, speaking of App World, we have created our own Good E-Reader store. Now, I've talked about in the past how we have developed an Android store catering to Kindle Fire, Kobovox, Penn Digital Novel, you know, a lot of those hybrid e-reader tablets that when you crank them out of the box, it's a stock Android experience. You may have one e-reading app on there, but a lot of people aren't satisfied. You know, if you buy a tablet with Kobo loaded on it, but you've always purchased books from Amazon, what are you going to do? A lot of the default markets, if they even exist on these lower quality and lower end tablets, don't have access to a lot of their primary competitors' apps. So we created our own app store and our own Android app client that you can just install on any Android device, phone, tablet, you know, whatever, and install plenty of Android applications. So what we've done is we've created a playbook section on our app store, and I think roughly now we have close to 200 apps and games. Now, they're not crap, and this is really the one of the things about the BlackBerry App World, and that's the same with most markets. There's just no quality control. You have just this dirge of really crappy and shitty applications, and no one's really monitoring anything. There's a lot of broken apps. I see all the time people are saying, I'm playing solitaire and I got five kings. What's the deal? And, you know, it's just that's just one of many different comments that we've heard. So, you know, like our app store, my intention from like day one is just to have like the editor's choice of apps, focusing mainly on like e-books, e-readers, news, RSS feed style apps, but you know, of course, games and all sorts of productivity type of applications too, right? It just not just mainstream applications, but sort of like the apps that appeal to a broader audience. So we're pretty selective on the apps we put there, but with, you know, hundreds of thousands of Android apps out there, there's a lot of things to be, you know, converted and listed on our store. To make things a little bit easier, what we've done is we've actually made an App Store client for the Playbook, and it's in the late stages of beta right now. Basically, you can install our App Store on your Playbook, see what type of new apps we've uploaded lately, rate, comment on particular apps. You can see what's popular, what's hot. You can see you know, different sort of categories and things like that. And you can actually download apps directly to your Playbook. Now, you can't install them from your Playbook, unfortunately, but what you can do is you can save them like to, it automatically gets saved to the default download directory on your Playbook, and then it's simple as following our two video tutorials that we filmed that show you step by step the whole process of what you do on a tablet, then what you do on your PC in order to load in your own apps. So, you know, the first time when you do anything, it's a longer process, and even for me, you know, it took me like a few hours to wrap my head around how everything actually worked, and now I could pretty well, in under like 30 seconds, copy and install an application. So we make video tutorials easy for everybody. And, you know, that's the whole premise of Good E-Readers. We just want to do it for you guys. Speaking of the Playbook and everything, Overdrive has made our lives a little bit easier by releasing their official media council on the BlackBerry app world. So if you are into borrowing books and audiobooks from the library, they have an official app now. So all you need is your 4-digit PIN number as well as your library card. You can select the library that does business with Overdrive in your particular like area. They do it in Canada, the UK, the US, Australia. They're in a lot of markets. I think that they're roughly at about over 250,000 different libraries actually deal with these guys. So if you want to borrow books, I encourage you to go to App World, free app. It's not too bad. In e-reader news, Pocketbook has shown off their new 622 Touch. And this is their e-ink Pearl model. It's being launched in Ukraine probably in the first few weeks of March for around $200 to $300. It's 6-inch, fully touchscreen, as I said. It has manual page turn buttons as well as a settings menu. There really isn't anything, you know, different from like the whole entire OS, but it is Wi-Fi, so you can connect up to their abysmal book world, which I've ran and raved about plenty of times. I think it sucks. It's scan books that are like Project Gutenberg, but they are available in like 17 to like 26 different languages, so there is some content there, but yeah, I mean, it sucks. Most Pocketbook e-readers suck. They're overpriced, you know. Most entry models cost anywhere between like $180 to like $500, depending on what size and what functions you want. And if you compare that to any of the, you know, North American markets, which are uber competitive with Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Kobo, Sony, I mean, they're all just like cutting prices left and right. You know, the Nook tablet was on sale for $249, and then the Kindle Fire came out for $199. So Barnes & Noble was like, well, we'll just have the RAM, have the internal storage, and we could sell it for as much as Amazon does. So, I mean, big companies can afford to revise their product lines and compete with each other. Companies like Pocketbook and things like that just can't. They have no marketing. They're not in any stores. They're a purely online type of company. But they are popular with geeks, mainly because if you know how to use Calibre, if you're familiar with loading in your own books that you may just download from the dark planes of the internet, or, you know, even if you just buy them from other bookstores, most pocketbook e-readers are compatible with Adobe Digital Edition. So as long as the book that you purchase is in EPUB or PDF format, you can easily load that into your e-reader. So this is tipped to launch in North America sometime in the summertime. No final price yet, but I could probably see about $2 to $2.50 as being a realistic. So check out our blog for more details about that. It is Read eBook Week, folks. If you're into doing a good cause, which I know you all are, March 4th to the 10th is Read an eBook Week. Many companies are participating in this. You get free books from Smashwords and a ton of other publishers. We've been talking a lot with the organizers. They're actually Canadian, like ourselves. So it's pretty cool. They actually petitioned the government to make Read an eBook Month. And I think that this may be going to take effect either this year or next year. I'm not too sure. Although there's going to be like a ton of public readings in libraries, library displays, reading challenges, school visits, a lot of newspaper and blog articles are going to be talking about it, as well as internet radio reviews, ebook giveaways, and all sorts of stuff. So it's a Read an eBook Week. If you've been putting off using an e-reader that you got for Christmas and you haven't even opened it up yet, now's a good time to get reading. The reason why I mentioned that is there was actually a pretty funny statistic that we published about 3 weeks ago. It was basically the Kindle and e-readers in general were the most non-used gifts. So a lot of people were getting, you know, people that $79 Kindle that came out. And a lot of people didn't even take them out of the box until the end of January, if they even took it out of the box. A lot of people just returned it. But it was funny to see that e-reader sales in general were huge during the holidays, and it's funny that like such a high percentage of them, which, you know, basically like 12% of everybody that had it in a survey group said, you know, I haven't even taken it out of the box, I haven't even bought a book, and if I did, I have just used it once or twice, bought one book and didn't even read it. Speaking of books, Barnes & Noble is offering Hunger Games tickets with the purchase of an e-reader. This is primarily in the New York and LA regions, and there's 26 different locations that will be participating in this. So here's the deal. You buy a Nook Simple Touch, Nook Color, Nook Tablet, any type of e-reader that they have, and you'll get some tickets. And you'll get like a pair of tickets to go to see the premiere of Suzanne Collins' first movie in a trilogy for The Hunger Games. And you'll be able to see it about 2 days before it actually comes out. So March 19th is when the premiere is. And then it debuts all over the place on the 23rd in Canada, the US. And I don't know about international because I don't really follow cinema. I follow e-readers and e-books. So yeah, I mean, they're also having VIP parties too, which are kind of cool. So if you buy an e-reader at any Barnes & Noble location that's not participating in this ticket giveaway, they'll actually give you one of Suzanne Collins' books in The Hunger Games for free. And that's going on from, I think, about March 10th to about March 23rd. That's the time frame that we were told that if you buy an e-reader, you'll get like, I don't know, the e-book won't be loaded on it, but they'll give you some sort of like coupon or voucher so you can get it from their website once you register. One thing that I like is tablets aimed at kids. I know a ton of parents, I mean, being 30 years old like I am, a lot of my peers, you know, high school friends, basically my Facebook friends, and let's face it, the majority of you people that have Facebook accounts probably have more old high school friends than anybody else on it if you've been using it for any length of time. A lot of people have kids. I hear about all the time about people have to micromanage their kids if they're using their iPad or their Nook Color because they're like, you know, when a kid's like 2 to about 5, they don't really value things. They don't think about anything about eating cookies and then putting their hands on a tablet, eating like a jelly sandwich and playing with a tablet and crap, that's what I do. Anyways, I'm glad I don't have any parents or older people yelling at me, but with younger kids, I mean, playing with a high-tech device, it makes parents apprehensive. And I mean, you know, a good iPad, $500-$600, a good, you know, a tablet, you know, $300 to $500. So they're not cheap. There is a market for tablets aimed at like preschoolers and people like, you know, around like 3 to about 6. And VTech has done it with the VTech V-Reader, the LeapFrog, the Fisher-Price iXL. There's a ton of companies that make really kind of kidsy type of devices that play audiobooks, and you put cartridges in them in some cases, or just download books and purchase them from their website and just load them in. But the big sort of gulf is that, sure, there's a lot of kind of these kids devices at preschoolers, kindergartners, grade one maybe, and then from there really isn't anything. There's, you know, those little kids devices, and then you have like the iPad, no color, you know, devices like that are more geared to adults. There really isn't like anything that appeals to like 5 to 10 year olds, right? And so Arcos, who's a French PMP, portable media display, not pimps, they have put out a kid-friendly tablet called the Child Tab. Now, this is running the latest version of Google Ice Cream Sandwich. It is 1 gigahertz for a processor, along with 1 gig of RAM, a 7-inch capacitive touchscreen, which makes interacting with things a breeze. Now, the thing with it that makes it really cool to me is that it's only going to be on sale for $129. Now, that's very affordable. That's about the price of an e-ink type e-reader, let alone like a 7-inch tablet. So this is Arcos giving you a low-cost tablet. You're not going to have access to like the Google Android Market or anything like that, but it does have Wi-Fi, and you will get access to a company that they're doing business with. Now, it's called, I think, AppLib, and they've kind of tailored the experience so you only have access to kid-friendly applications. You don't have access to like everything, but there'll be 28 apps preloaded on the device, such as Angry Birds, Pig Rush, Flight Frenzy, a ton of learning puzzles and entertainment type things. So like a video player, pictures, you know, web browser and things like that. So I think this is cool. I think that this really kind of takes the place of the you know, the preschooler and little kid devices like VTech, Fisher-Price iXL, and this would be sort of like the bridge device to more expensive things like you know, like a Playbook, Motorola Zoom, Asus Transformer Prime, you know, all those sort of like higher end type of tablets. So yeah. Speaking of tablets, since I'm seem to be like on a rant right now, Microsoft has previewed their Windows 8 tablet, and I think it's hella cool. It features the new Metro UI. I'm not going to bog you down in semantics on how Microsoft is supporting ARM-based devices, because most people, when they think ARMs, are thinking like, I have two arms, or I've seen guys like, you know, the villain from Mortal Kombat with four arms, and, you know, things like that. So I'm not going to get into that. But what I will say is Microsoft's really sort of homogenizing this Metro UI. You see it in Windows phones and with the new 7.5 Mango. You see it if you have an Xbox 360, and if you've downloaded any new update within the last 2 months, you sort of see like a new interface. And this is sort of the interface that Microsoft is really going towards with both its PC and with its tablet friendly format. So I've always been a huge fan of Microsoft Windows tablets. It's just that Windows 7 is not really indicative to a touchscreen experience because like all the icons are too small. It really wasn't designed for a touch interface. Whereas Windows 8 was sort of built from the ground up, taking into account that they really want to attack the tablet market and they really want to get this OS on a lot of tablets. So if you have a Windows tablet right now, like a Windows 7 type tablet, you can easily download the customer preview build. And this is fully functional. I heard that Flash and YouTube and stuff doesn't really work, but you can get sort of a taste of what's in store for you. We have a video on our front page. It's roughly about 8 minutes or so, and it's a total walkthrough of all the cool new features, how web pages look, how Internet Explorer 10 looks, and a ton of new features. So check that out if you're into it. A lot of people, you know, with this Suzanne Collins business, and you don't really have to go very far to see that the vampire, paranormal, urban romance genre is taking a world by storm. And one of the authors that are doing this is Rochelle Mead, and she is getting a new interactive app courtesy of Razor Bill. And we've also posted about a 40-second trailer on what it's about. She's done, you know, the Vampire Academy, Bloodlines, and this is sort of the big series that Rochelle Mead has done. And it's, you know, basically like living in this like little world. It's sort of it's like a poor man's Pottermore, sort of. It's a little bit interactive. It's kind of cool new features. You can actually buy and read the books like exactly in it. It was designed for iOS. If you want to find out more about it, check out the front page. There's some quotes and stuff by her too. Too much tablet news to really get into. I mean, all the time, like, I could just see, like, daily we're posting 6 or 7 different articles on, you know, different tablets coming out at different prices. Nothing's really too exciting. It's a little bit of, like, ho-hum. I think tablets right now are sort of, they're in this lull period. There's just, with Android, there's no established version, you know, new phone. There's only like 2 or 3 phones that have ice cream sandwich on it. There's only like 1 or 2 tablets that have ice cream sandwich. And then a lot of companies promising that they're going to port it over. And they usually go above and beyond the deadlines. Like, hey, at the beginning of March, we're going to push the ice cream sandwich update to all these tablets. So stay tuned. And people stay tuned, and they don't come out until... most haven't even come out yet. All I'm going to say about the tablet world, because, you know, I'm kind of not too enamored with tablets right now. So you can just check it out there. What I will want to talk about is Kobo, and they have taken advantage of the whole Windows 8 thing that I was talking about. One of the benefits of Windows 8 is that they're going to start an app store, and they're going to sort of not clone what Apple's done with iTunes, where it's like this embedded type of system where if you have like a Mac Air, if you have an iPad, if you have an iPhone, you tap into this ecosystem where you can download content. Now, Microsoft's taken a cue from that. And I mean, honestly, like, who goes and buys DVDs anymore? Hardly anybody. It's all like digital content. You may have like your operating system on CD. And if you buy like speakers or a CD-ROM, they may give you like a disc with drivers. But for the most part, your operating system recognizes anything. Anything that you need could just be downloaded from the internet. But when you look at things like Microsoft Office, if you look at, you know, a lot of productivity apps, a lot of indie type apps, a lot of essential downloads, it's important that it's all just in one little ecosystem. So Microsoft is doing like their own little store for apps, and Kobo is going to be one of the first e-reading companies that's actually making an app for it. Not a whole lot of what's known for it, but we have heard that they're going to take advantage of a lot of the live tiles. So you'll be able to see read your reading life awards. Things will sort of pop up in these dynamic little UI elements and things like that. We have a press release by them that kind of doesn't really tell you very much, other than, hey, we've made an app, check it out when Windows 8 drops later this year. Amazon. Really, I don't have really anything to say about them other than their Kindle Lending Library has topped 100,000 ebooks. Now, if you belong to Amazon Prime, which gives you discount on ordering things from the website, it gives you movie rentals, it gives you a lot of content. If you have a Kindle Fire, you know what Amazon Prime could do for you. If you don't have a Kindle Fire, basically Amazon Prime just gives you a whole bunch of little features. One of the features I really like is every month that you're a member, you can actually borrow one ebook for free. And there's, you know, books like Water for Elephants, a lot of books by, you know, some pretty prominent authors. All the Hunger Games books are there. Richard Dawkins, Debbie McComber. So a lot of indie authors are finding success by offering their books on there because they're able to draw attention to themselves. And that's one of the kind of cool side benefits is that a number of authors has said that, you know, I went from selling 50 books a month to being, you know, on this lending library, and now I've earned $36,000, you know, over the course of like 6 months. The way that it sort of works is Amazon has like a pool of money, and if you're an author, say I've written a book on, I think it's my reference that I use, it's an urban paranormal thriller involving vampires and pixies. And I forget the name of it, but this is the book that I wrote. Let's just call it, I don't know, Dark Reckoning. Okay, so I put my book Dark Reckoning and I submit it to the Kindle Lending Library and say, like, I don't know, like 1,000 people download it. And I'm like super stoked. Amazon will actually give me a small percentage of everyone that's borrowed the book for free and actually give me money for it. Not only will Amazon pay me a little bit of money, but all those people that borrowed the book for free, they're like, oh, he wrote a sequel to it. Maybe I'll buy it. So a lot of authors are finding that they're able to give like an older book away and sell their newer books, give a new book away. And they'll read, you know, if it's a third part in like a trilogy, they'll read the first two. So they've now toppled 100,000 books in the system. I think that's pretty cool. So what I want you guys to know is that I'm happy that you're listening to the show. I'm going to let you go. I think I've ranted and raved long enough, but you're pretty well caught up on the major news. The last thing they'll say is Marvel and iBooks have formed a loose partnership where that you can now purchase comic book and graphic novels through the iBookstore. And this is a new initiative. There's 60 different graphic novels that are going to be launching, as well as a lot of comic books. So, you know, you don't really have to, you know, Barnes & Noble, Chapters, Indigo, a lot of bookstores, you really only have to like go so far, and you'll notice like usually a small comic section, a graphic novel section. So iBooks is incorporating this into their main setup, so you don't have to download like the dedicated Marvel app. You can just buy and read comic and graphic novels and have them displayed on your iBookshelf. So I think that that's pretty cool. So of course, at Goody Reader every day, we publish anywhere between 6 and 10 articles. We do reviews, previews, and interviews with everybody in the industry. You know, I would say like 60% of like the entire publishing e-reader industry checks out our blog out on a daily basis. And so when we go to a lot of these conferences and companies have news, you know, they often talk to us first. So we usually have like a lot of cool news on a daily basis that if you're into ebooks, digital publishing, e-readers, tablet computers, and sort of everything that falls in between that scene, we usually will bring you up to date on everything. So keep your web browsers tuned, bookmarked. If you're on a tablet, I want you to save our webpage as your like the default thing as you open to. If you can find a picture of me online, I know I have links to my Facebook. Feel free to change your own profile picture to my picture and tell all your friends about the glories of a Goody Reader. So you've been listening to the Goody Reader Radio Show. My name is Michael, and everybody take care.